On Friday, I was speaking to a young man who was in a completely distressed state. I've known him for some time. He's had a terrible life. His father abused him from a very, very young age. His mother and father were both cocaine addicts, and all sorts of people were coming into his household. He's been in and out of prison, this youngish fella, and absolutely desperate, and on Friday, threatening to take his own life. He's got nowhere to live. The night before, he said, where were you sleeping? He said, I'm just sleeping out in the park. Can't get him into accommodation here because he's on probation in Garston, so he's got to go back to Liverpool. I said to him, it doesn't have to be like this. He knows, he's been to church and different things. And I said, God has a plan and he's got a purpose for your life. And some things that you can do, you can say no to drink, you can say no to drugs and other things, but there's some things where you need God to help you. And he can take this life that you've got now, there's tears running down his face, and I said, he can completely transform you. And sadly, up to now, it's been a ruined life for him and a wasted life. But we're going to hear today of the opposite, of a young man who God had a purpose for him, like he has a purpose for all of us. And he's going to turn him into a powerful man in the nation of Israel. And he's going to do mighty and wonderful things through him. And in this series that we're looking at, about the call of God, we're stepping up from God just speaking. And isn't it great that our God speaks? There are many people today who are so caught up in spirituality and their God is made out of stone and wood and images, statues. And however much they can try, they don't speak. But our God does speak, and we need to hear God speaking, don't we? And he speaks in different ways, many different ways. And here he comes and he speaks to a young man, Samuel. And often he calls out to us, and he calls out for us to sometimes stop doing things and say, you've got to stop that. Or the opposite, you've got to start it. You've got to start doing something that God asks us to do. Sometimes he calls out and he tells us to stay. We might be thinking, we ought to move. I'd like to move. But God is saying, I want you to stay. At other times, for us, it might be the opposite. You know what? I'd like to go. I'd like to go somewhere else. I was born in Brazil, and particularly in the winter, I keep crying out to the Lord, take me home, not to heaven, not just yet anyway, although that's good too, but take my body back to that warm place where I came into the world. But sometimes we want to go somewhere, wouldn't we like to go, but God says, no, I want you to stay. So he calls us out to do many things, and we need to hear God's voice. And that's what we're looking at today, particularly, is hearing God's call to us. And we're grateful that he speaks to us, he hears us, but he takes so much interest in that he calls us to do things, calls us to go, to stay, to stop, or whatever it might be. And I want to first of all just look at the setting of Samuel's call, the setting, just a bit of a background of the reading we've had read to us, so as we understand a little bit of what was going on at that particular time. And first of all, we see that God comes and he calls out to Samuel. Samuel thinks it's Eli, the priest who he was serving in the temple with, And he comes and he speaks to this young boy. And isn't it great? I became a Christian as a young boy. And I think it's great, these young kids that we have around. You know, we want God to speak to them as he will, and we want them to respond to him. But Samuel thought it was Eli. And Samuel was just a boy. He was just a boy. If you're a Leo Sayer fan, that might ring a bell with you. He had a little record out there. He was just a boy giving it all away. Well, Leo Sayer wasn't around then, but Samuel was. But he was a young boy who God was putting his hand on for service and calling him. And then there was Eli, who was at the other end of the scale. He was old and he was deteriorating. I wasn't quite sure whether to use the word old or whatever. And I remember somebody saying years ago that there are three stages in life. There's the stage when you believe in Father Christmas. The second stage is when you don't believe in Father Christmas. And then the third and final stage is when you begin to look like Father Christmas. Just for the record, I'm at stage one. Although somebody did text me just recently and say, Rob, we are looking for a Father Christmas, and we think you would do the job really well. I said, well, I'm not at stage three just yet. I'm still at stage one. So Eli was only deteriorating. Verse 2 says his eyes were becoming weak and he could barely see. But then also we're drawn into Eli's family. His sons particularly had become a problem. They were blaspheming and they were discrediting the name of God and the house of God, and were still perhaps in God's eyes, was that God had pointed all this out if he needed pointing out to Eli, and Eli had done absolutely nothing about it. He'd just let it go, brush under the carpet and just do nothing about it. And then also we're told in verse 1 that the conditions, the spiritual conditions of the land at that time, and this may resonate with us today, that the word of the Lord was rare. Didn't hear it in schools, didn't hear it on perhaps as much as on the media and other places. It was rare, and there were not many visions. Of course, the Bible hadn't been written then, and so God would speak through prophets, through visions, and in other ways too. So let's look at this fantastic passage. It's a lovely passage. It's an inspiring passage. And I just was loving just sat there just listening to it and thinking, that's fantastic. And then George called me up and thought, I don't want to come up. I don't want to sit there and sort of meditate on this passage. It's such a wonderful passage. But let's just look at a few things here about Samuel responding to God's calling. And the first thing I want to highlight particularly, it's probably the obvious thing, is that God wants us to be familiar with his voice or familiar with his word. That was Samuel's problem, wasn't it? That he thought it was God was speaking to him, and he thought it was Eli. And so God wants us to be familiar with his voice and his word. And that's key for a lot of things in life. When God speaks to us, sometimes we need to discern that. Sometimes we can't discern that. This is in the middle of the night. Maybe Samuel, I don't know, maybe had ADHD or something. And every day, like certainly one of my children and certainly one of my grandchildren, you know, they chat, 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 chat all the time. And your ears are just ringing. Maybe that was the time when God could actually get a word in and speak to him. But often we don't hear God because sometimes our own voice is the loudest in the room. And we just don't, God is trying to speak to us in a whisper and we don't hear him. I remember years ago someone said, you know, God's got a wonderful plan for your life and everyone else seems to know what it is. So everyone else is telling you what God's plan is, and we don't hear what God is actually say. I think it's lovely here that God comes and he speaks to Samuel by name. Samuel. He has a name and God knows it. God knows it. And he knows your name. He knows the name of your son and your daughter, your mum, your dad, your friend, your husband, wife. Maybe someone who's in your heart at the moment. God knows them and he knows their name. They're not just a number. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you," or "I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine." Isaiah 43. And our whole character is known by God. Not just our names, but what we're like. On the outside and on the inside. Because God knit us together in our mother's womb. And you expect me to say, and I'll fulfill your expectations, and he knows the very number of hairs on our head. Of course, some of us make it easier for God on that than some other people. But he knows the very detail of us, physically, emotionally, spiritually, morally, or whatever. He knows our inmost thoughts. That's challenging, isn't it? Our inmost thoughts. He knows who we really are, yet, despite that, he calls out to us. And he says, I love you, and I want to do something with your life. I have a purpose for your life. Yes, I know about this, that, and the other, but I specialize in taking these broken earthen vessels and putting a wonderful power and life within all of that. I take the remnants, the discarded things, the broken things like that, and I raise them up and turn them into something absolutely beautiful. And that's, I think, very encouraging, very comforting to us. And so the Lord came to Samuel, and it says, and he stood there in verse 10, and calling out as he had on other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And as God knows us and is familiar with all of us, he requires that we know him too. And that we become familiar with his voice, familiar with his word. In verse 7 that we had read before, I find it very challenging. And I hope you'll be challenged, or we're challenged by it too. Samuel had been serving in the word in the house of the Lord, been serving the Lord in the house of the Lord for some years. He might have been around about 12 at this time, not told specifically. So he'd been doing that every day. His mother, godly mother, had dedicated and given Samuel to the Lord, service to the Lord, and he'd been doing that for years. But it says in verse 7, "But Samuel did not yet know the Lord." He did not yet know the Lord. It's a chilling reminder, isn't it, through Samuel's experience, that it's possible not only to be in the house of the Lord, as we are this morning, but even to be serving the Lord and yet not know him. It's lovely, great to sing, isn't it? We've been well led this morning in our song worship, and to pray and to intercede and to say the Lord's Prayer. Lovely things. We can talk about God, we can sing to God, but it's another thing to actually know him. I wonder whether you know him personally. Are we familiar with the voice and the word of God? Samuel's problem wasn't his hearing. It was his discerning. He didn't know that it was God calling him. And if we fail to hear God's voice and distinguish his voice, we'll live a life of confusion, of chaos, sometimes ruin. Rather, when we become familiar with God's voice, things become clearer and things become certain. And so the obvious point of this first thing is that we need to actually recognize God's voice, to sometimes listen, put ourselves into a quiet spot, cancel out all things, have kind of noise-canceling ears, like you can get noise-canceling headphones today, and to hear God speaking to us and discern his will. Samuel's response was a great response, and he says, once he knew that it was the Lord, and Eli, although Eli had failures, Eli did show, point Samuel in the right direction and say, when he speaks again, this is the Lord. He says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so Samuel gives us that lovely experience and guidance through Eli's leading to actually say to the Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, the second thing is that God not only wants us to be familiar with his voice and his word, but he wants us to be faithful to his instructions. It's one thing to hear God saying something, but it's another thing to carry it out, isn't it? Eli, God has spoken to Eli about the sins and the evil and the wickedness that was going on in his family, but Eli wasn't faithful in carrying out what God had been speaking to him about. And it is tough to be faithful. Samuel's first task was a tough one. He's going to have to tell Eli that there is going to be punishment that's going to come upon him and his family. That's not good. Here's a man who's been probably looking after Eli and feeding him and all the rest of it. A man maybe he looked up to and saying, God told me that he's going to bring punishment to you and your family. So what do? You can duck out of that. That's an easy thing. But Samuel, right at this young age, proved himself to be faithful to the instructions that God gave to him. And for all of us who love Jesus and want to serve him and follow him, we have to be faithful just like Samuel was. Samuel stayed awake all night. I think that's the inference of the passage. What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? I can remember when I'd asked Sarah to marry me. Or did she ask me to marry me? I can't remember that yet. No, the thing is, I asked Sarah to marry me, and went round to see her to her dad. And thought, right, I'm going to just go straight in there, pick the moment, and she's going to tell him, ask for his hand and blessing. Anyway, about an hour and a half later, I'm still chatting. I couldn't get to the point. I couldn't get the courage to actually say that to him. Thankfully, I did. He kind of looked at me in a growling sort of way. I think it was just a shock, but he was actually quite delighted, I like to think, anyway. But sometimes when we're going to deliver something that's a bit tricky, we can be fearful. But choose faithfulness over fear. Choose faithfulness to God over fear. Deuteronomy 12:32 says, be careful to do everything I command you. This is God speaking. Do everything I command you. Don't pick and choose, pick and mix. Do not add anything to it or take anything away from it. But then just thirdly, God calls us to be fruitful. He calls us to be familiar. He wants us to be familiar with his voice. He needs us to be faithful. But he wants the outcome of our lives to be fruitful in all that we do. And as we are familiar with the voice of God, as we are faithful in doing what he asks us to do, fruit will come. And I don't have the time to go through how God richly blessed this young man's Samuel's life, but it was fruitful. He did what God said with regard to Eli's family. That's a cleansing kind of ministry. He eventually identified and anointed the kings of Israel, and he continued to teach the nation as a spiritual leader of Israel. It was a fruitful life. And it all came down to the very fact that he was a man that was called by God, a man that listened to God and said, "Speak, Lord, for I am listening." And those three words, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, speak, servant, listening, are three key words. Lord, you speak. I'm going to stop now. You speak. Servant, we need to discover, don't we, servanthood. Lots of chiefs, not many servants, and listening. So whatever God is calling you to do, make sure you are listening for him, listening to him. He wants us to be fruitful. Again, I don't have the opportunity to go through all of that whole theme, it's another time about fruitfulness, but the Lord wants us to do that. He says, by your fruits you will know people, and that we are to bear fruit. When we have the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, we will demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. There's an old hymn I remember singing, obviously centuries ago, I think, but it was based on this passage, and it said, one of the verses was, "Oh, give me Samuel's ear, the open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word. Like him to answer at thy call and to obey thee first of all." Oh, give me Samuel's ear. Back in 1949, I wasn't around in those days, but 1949 to 1953, there was a great work of God, a blessing and outpouring of the Spirit of God, a revival in the Scottish Hebrides. And it was largely, not exclusively, under the ministry of a man who's a faith mission minister called Duncan Campbell. He was quite young in those days, and there were two very elderly ladies that were praying for blessing and revival in those islands. And they had a vision from God that there would be a man that would come. They didn't recognize him. He would come to the islands and he would bring God's blessing. And they met him. And they said, "Mr. Campbell," they'd never met him before, but said, "We believe you are God's man to come to these islands." They're both in their 80s. One was blind, but they had this wonderful vision from God. And he, in his sort of petulance, says, "Well, God's not told me that." And they very wisely said to him, said, "Mr. Campbell, if you were living as near to God as you should, he would reveal his secrets to you also. You would hear his voice. If you were living to God as closely and near as you should be, you would hear the voice of God." So our only response should be like Samuel, "Speak, Lord, speak to us, for we, your servants, we are listening."